to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 956. Habakkuk, chapter 2. That's near the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We'll be reading the first four verses. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. We'll read the verses responsively, verses 1 through 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And let's pray. And Father, it seems almost that one Sunday runs almost into the other. And here we are again. We're happy to be here. This place is the source of our strength and our encouragement and our blessing. This book is, of course, the undergirding for all that we know and appreciate about this place. Thank you for this book. Thank you for your word. Bless as it's preached, and help our preacher in a very special way. Help his voice very specially. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Has brought us here for a purpose. Thou hast thy plan in mind, and we have the idea of fitting into that plan. And so for the next few minutes, I pray that you'd give us what we need as we think of things eternal. Holy Spirit, thou canst use a vessel that is dedicated and yielded to thee, regardless of its condition. And I pray you'd take this vessel this morning of clay and use it to feed the hungry people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you on purpose to listen to me this morning. I have some things I want to say to you, and you'll have to help me get them across. Habakkuk is in a place, or in a place in his life, that he cannot understand. Somebody has said that Habakkuk is the doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. At any rate, he comes to a place in Habakkuk chapter 2 where he cannot understand some things that have happened to him. He comes to God and asks God why. You've been there. I've been there. Maybe you're there this morning. Some things in your life that you don't understand or comprehend. That's exactly where Habakkuk was. He did the same thing that you do. He came to God and said, God, I don't understand this or these events in my life. Would you tell me why these things have come into my life? I don't think that's wrong. I think that all of us have said that to God. You've said, dear God, these things that have come to my life, why have they come? I don't understand it. Would you tell me why? God gives Habakkuk a four-part answer. The first thing he says is, Habakkuk, the answer will come. I want to read it to you. Don't you turn to it, because it'll take you to the evening service to find it. I read these words. For the vision, God speaking to Habakkuk, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. He said, Habakkuk, you've asked me why. I'm going to tell you why. But I'm not going to tell you why right now. I'll tell you why later. Habakkuk says, but dear God, when will you tell me why? These things that have happened in my life have so happened. And God said, Habakkuk, now get this, I am going to tell you. But he said, I have an appointed time to tell you. So he said, now you just wait for that appointed time, and I am going to tell you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why certain things are happening in your life. God will tell you why. But God will tell you why at His appointed time and not your appointed time. He who knows all and He who is all-powerful knows not only what should happen in your life, but He knows when you should find out why it happened. 6 years ago today, I preached from this pulpit of my mother, her body lying in state at the Boken Funeral Home. 6 years ago tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I did one of the two or three hardest things I've ever done in my life. I preached the funeral sermon for my mother. If there ever was a woman in the history of the world that asked God why, is my mother. Don't you see what you've heard me say so many times? Her mother died when my mother was 9. She married a man who became an alcoholic. They had a baby who was afflicted. Their first child was afflicted. Can you imagine how many times my mother said why? And God said, Costell, I have a time when I'm going to tell you why. You see, God wants to know if you'll serve Him and not know why. God wants to know if you love Him enough to keep on going, even though you don't know why certain things happen in your life. So, my mother, why? Why is my child afflicted? Why can my child never talk or walk? At the age of 7, that child was taken, buried in Babyland. My mother and dad had a second child, whose name was Hazel. At the age of 7, Hazel died. My dad and mother lost a little store they had in Italy, Texas. The depression came, took all they had. My dad turned to alcohol. My mother had to work, just rake and scrape and work for every dime she could to rear her son. And my sister, of course, helped some until she got married. She helped greatly. But my mother did not know why. 7 years she watched over an afflicted child without knowing why. God said, I'll tell you, Costell. I'll tell you why. But I've got a time when I've appointed, I'm going to tell you why. That child dies. Why? I'll tell you why, but I'll tell you at my appointed time. Second child dies at the same age as the first child, age of 7. Costell, I'll tell you. Store's taken. Depression comes. Dad turns to alcohol. She has to work for 50 cents a day and walk 2 miles to a public school lunchroom to do it and to help feed her boy. And says, why? 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 I'll tell you. God said, I'll tell you, Costell. The first time my mother ever heard me preach. On the way back home, she said, son, now I know why. Now I know why. You have a heartache this morning. Why? Why did this happen to me? I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. He understands it. And He knows when. He knows why. And He knows when He's going to tell you why. Habakkuk came and said, dear God, I can't comprehend this. Why is this in my life? And God said, I'll not tell you why now. Now is not the time for me to tell you why. But number one, I know why. Number two, I'm going to tell you why. Number three, I'll tell you why at my appointed time. So, second thing, God says, I love this. God said, Habakkuk, you have enough faith stored away to last a while. I want to show you something. My mother used to do this. She used to can food like that. They don't do it much anymore. And if you ever saw one of those old canners, you'd wonder why they did it then. It's dangerous to be around those steamy things. I'm indebted to Sue Baldwin this morning, who brought me these. She thinks she loaned them, but she actually gave them to me. But my mother, before the winter time would come, My mother would take what little things she could gather together and what she could get from Uncle Roy from his farm, and my mother would can. And then when the cold winter time came and the gardens would not bring forth the vegetables, my mother would go to the closet and she'd open one of these things that she canned, getting ready for the wintertime. That's exactly what God said to Habakkuk. God said, Habakkuk, you're going to have a hard time finding joy. So Habakkuk, use the joy that you stored up and canned. You know what? I got enough happiness canned to take me for a lot of sadness. I got enough joy canned of all the good things that God has done for me to take me through a long, long winter of heartache and heartbreak. People sometimes say, Brother Hiles, how do you stay on top all the time? I got a bunch of joy canned up. That's what it is. I got it canned up. So while things are going real good, just can a bunch of joy. Something else, can a bunch of praise also. I mean, just get your gizzard full of praise and glory to God and all the things that God has done for you. And then when the time comes when you have no praise and in your heart, you say, how can I praise God for today? Well, praise God for yesterday. And open a can of praise. You say, preacher, how can I face today? Can some courage. I mean, can it and put it away. While it going's easy, put it away. When the time comes, the burden comes, the heartache comes, the troubles come, the trials come, take a can of courage out and open it. Listen to me. I've been pastoring for 43 years. I've been a licensed preacher for 45 years this next month. Blessed be God. If God's ever been good to a man, He's been good to this preacher. And if God has ever blessed a pastor in the history of the Christian religion, God has blessed this little ghetto-bound boy who's not a polished, trained preacher. But if God's ever been good to anybody, I've told God time and time again, I can take a little tough going. I've had a lot of good going all through these years. Old Dr. John Rice said when he got ill, I wondered how he'd take it when he got to the place where he couldn't preach anymore. Dr. Rice looked up at me time and time again and said, Brother Hiles, I've been beside suffering people all these many years. I've comforted those who are sad. I've strengthened those who are weak. I've lifted those who are fallen. And Brother Hiles, I've got some coming of my own now. I've got some troubles coming. God's been good to me. And God's been good to me. And God's been good to you. Look, don't gripe because of what's happening today. Shout because what's happened up till today. I preached a sermon here years ago entitled 9 out of 10 Isn't Bad. I listed the areas of life in that sermon. And I listed your home life, your marriage, your children, your work, your health, and all the many 10 areas of life. And I said, I don't know anybody that has 10 out of 10. But when something goes wrong in life, praise God for the 7 good ones and not complain because of the 3 bad ones. I mean, 9 out of 10 is not bad. I'm simply saying what the prophet is, God is saying here, the prophet, he's saying, Habakkuk, you've had a wonderful life, and I blessed you. Now he said, you ought to have enough strength stored up and canned to help you through this tough time. You ought to have enough faith in God stored up and canned to help you through this tough time. You ought to have enough joy stored up and canned to help you through this tough time. One of these days, I'm going to do something. I have a scrapbook. No, I don't either. It's a scrap closet. You older people have heard Fibber McGee and Molly. Well, when Fibber McGee would radio program would open his closet, then everything would fall. And all you could hear for several seconds there, clang, bang, bomb, bomb, clang, and it kept on. Well, that's where my scrap closet is. If I ever take one little thing out of it, thousands of pieces of paper are going to fall out of that closet. I wouldn't let you see it because it's such a mess. But brother, whenever I get to a place where I can't preach anymore, if I ever do, if ever I get to a place to where I have to be laid aside for a while, I'm going to get that, I don't put it in the scrapbook. I'm going to get all those papers out. And I'm going to remember all the good things that God has done for me.
And I'm going to have a spell, not because of what maybe is happening at the time, but I'm going to have a spell of thanksgiving and praise to my God for all that God has done for me. Let me tell you something. The fact that you're God's child, that's enough to store up for about 10 years of shouting right there. You have no reason to complain because troubles. You have no reason to gripe because you have things bad. Look and see how good God has been to you. Open a can, brother, and eat it when you're hungry. A can of praise, a can of joy, a can of courage, a can of strength, a can of rejoicing. Open it up. Praise God for His goodness all through life. He said, Habakkuk, I know you don't understand me now. I know you can't understand me. But he said, Habakkuk, live in days of doubt on the strength you stored in days of faith. Sing in the dark days of gloom the songs you've learned in the days of gladness. Six years ago last Wednesday night. By the way, it was on a Wednesday night too. I went to my mother's bedside. And she was dying, and she knew it. And she looked up, and I was alone with her, and she said, Son, I just want to tell you how proud of you I am. And how I thank God for letting me live to see your ministry. Now she said, Son, there are two things I want you to promise me. And I said, What, Mother? She said, I'll be gone in a few hours. I want you to promise me that you'll preach my funeral. I said, Mama, I don't think I can do that. She said, Son, you've never disobeyed me. Did you hear what I said, teenagers? Did you hear what I said, children? She said, You've never disobeyed me. Did you hear what I said, rebellious punk? Did you hear what I said, teenage rebel? She said, Son, you've never disobeyed me. She said, Promise me you'll preach my funeral. And I said, I will. She said, Now, son, make me a second promise. Promise me that you will not cancel any engagement because of my death. I said, Mother, I couldn't preach if your body was lying. And she said, Son, I don't want to think that my death would hurt your ministry. I beg you, promise me that you will not cancel any engagement. I kissed her goodbye, but wait a minute. Before we left, we joined hands and sang, Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. My mom and I joined hands and sang that together. And then we sang, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. You said, Brother Hiles, how could you sing at a time like that? Well, bless God, I had some songs all canned. We just opened a few cans of songs, a few cans of joy. Next morning, I was going down to Charleston, South Carolina to preach at the State Christian Educators Convention. Went out to O'Hare Field, as I always did at O'Hare Field before I left. I called my mama, always did, for 18 years. Called her every time, not before I boarded the plane. Last thing I did, I called my mama and told her I loved her. Every time I went, I picked up the phone. I called the hospital. The nurse answered, and I said, Nurse, how's Mama today? And the nurse said, Brother Howard, your mama's dying. She said, If you'll come quickly, I believe she'll be alive when you get here. I said, I can't come. She said, You can't come. Why? And I said, Because I'm at O'Hare Field. And last night I promised my mama I would not cancel any speaking engagement because of her death. I said, Now you put the phone right next to Mama's ear. She did. And I hollered as loud as I could, Mama! Mama! I love you, Mama! I love you, Mama! I put the phone down, boarded the airplane. A few minutes after I got to Charleston, my sister called and said, Mama, just went to heaven. Now you listen to me, folks. You listen to me. You're going to have some heartaches in life. The shadows are going to come. The midnights are going to come. The rainstorms are going to come. Now what you better do is you better praise God so much while you're well that you can all the praise you can, and you can all of the courage you can, and you can all the joy you can. Listen, God has done enough for me already. If He never does anything else for me, I can still praise Him as long as I live. I got it canned. God said to Habakkuk, the answer will come. Then he said, Habakkuk, you have enough faith stored to last a while. Number three, he said, Habakkuk, you don't have to know why now. Just know that I know why. I don't have to understand, know why. One day, God has an appointed time when He's going to tell me why. And one day, God has an appointed time He's going to tell you why. But until that time comes, you don't have to know why if you know Him who knows why. And you don't have to be able to see it as long as you can see the One who can see it. I back out of the drive out here to go home. One of the security guards does like this. He gets out in the street. I can't see who's coming down the street. He keeps motioning like that. And I back out in that street. Only hope I've got is that security guard is my friend. I can't see what's coming, but he can see what's coming. He looks down the street and does like that. And I trust him. And my Heavenly Father today looks at me and says, my child, I know why, but I cannot tell you why. It's not time for you to know why. But until I have the appointed time and tell you why, let me tell you, my child, there is a why. I will tell you why. I will tell you why when I should tell you why. Until then, I can see. Trust me. I know why. Trust me. Bless God. Trust Him and serve Him and love Him and praise Him and honor Him in faith, believing that He knows why, and one day He'll tell you why. And then it's the fourth and last thing. He says, Habakkuk, there are three things I want you to do between the time now and the time I tell you why. First thing He said, watch. Watch. He said, Habakkuk, you keep watching for the time. Second thing He said, run. Third thing He said, wait. Has a loved one died? You don't know why? Three things God says to you this morning. Watch. Watch for the answer. Two, work while you're watching. Keep teaching your Sunday school class. And I'll tell you something this morning that blessed my heart. I don't think I've ever known a couple as close as Wally and Mrs. McCarroll. I don't think I've ever known a lady who depended on a man like Mrs. McCarroll depended on Wally. I guess for 20 years or more, every Sunday morning, I shouldn't have told you because now you'll know how to get me come to the door. That's the signal, Mrs. McCarroll, every Sunday morning. I go to the door. For 20 years or more, she's standing there with a little bag. She comes in. She leaves me a bouquet of flowers. Sometimes, almost always, some fruit, some juice or something. As for all these years, I was sitting in my office this morning early, and I said to myself, I wonder if Ms. McCarroll's going to come today. And then I said, yeah, she's going to come. I said to the Lord, I shouldn't have said this, but I'm sorry I said it, but he's not as much a Pharisee as you are. I said, Lord, I'll bet you $1 she comes. Long about 9:15. There she stood. Shoulders not as straight as usual. Eyes not as bright as usual. Walk not as brisk as usual. Voice not as chirp as usual. But there she stood. She came over and put a nice bouquet in my office. Brought me some juice for my congestion. And began to cry. I knew she'd come. I knew she'd come. Now, that may sound strange to you, but you understand it. Here's a couple. They were always together. Here's a couple that depended on each other. Here's a couple that best friends, hardly ever apart. He's gone. What does she do? Miss McCarroll, keep on going. Keep on going. Watch for the answer. Run till you find the answer and wait patiently for the answer. What God was saying to Habakkuk was this. Habakkuk, trust me and obey me. Trust me and obey me. Habakkuk comes to God and says, Dear God, I don't understand these things that have happened in my life. And look, anybody on this platform this morning could say the same thing. Anybody. John Colston's got a heartache, and I know what it is. You got two of them. One's over here, and I won't tell you the other one. But he's got a heartache. And he could come to God and say, Dear God, why? Roy Moffitt could come to God this morning and say, Dear God, why? I don't understand why. Dr. Evans could come to God this morning and say, God, why? I don't understand why. And I can come to God and say, why? I don't understand why. And God stands up and says, I'll tell you why. I've already set aside a time to tell you why. It's my time and not yours. Now he said, until that time, you've got enough faith to last you. You've got enough can to last you for a while. You've got enough joy to keep you rejoicing. You've got enough praise canned to keep you praising. I've done enough for you that you can't understand, that you don't have to quit with death to doubt me when one little thing comes that you can't understand. I want to understand this, by the way. Why is it that God can bless us for a lifetime, as we call blessing, and everything in our lives we can understand exactly why they transpire, and then for one little brief segment of our life, something comes and we gripe and complain to God? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's cloudy in your life or sunshiny, God is good. Whether it's stormy or whether it's fair, God is good. When you can see your hand or not see it, God is good. When you understand what's happened in your life or not, God is good. God is good. God is good. God said, Habakkuk, I've been good enough to you all through these years for you to have some things stored up, for you to have some blessings stored up. I've been good enough to you. For you to have some courage stored up, some joy stored up, some faith stored up. And then he said, Habakkuk, you don't have to know why, but you know me, and I know why. Habakkuk, you don't have to see. You can see me, and I can see. I told somebody this morning, I've forgotten who it was, and I'll close with this. I've said it here a little bit a while ago, but somebody I talked at length about it this morning. I don't mind growing old, except I hate to see those I love the most pass off the scene. One by one, for 31 years, they walk by the casket. How many times have I seen Wally McCarroll walk by the casket? And I've said time and time again, I wonder when Wally's time's going to come. And one by one, we walk by the caskets to view each other's bodies. And then one time, our time comes. The sorrow, the heartache, the pain, the bereavements, the sadness, the burdens of life come to all of us when they come. It's as natural as 2 and 2 is 4 to say, God, why? Our great, wonderful God looks down and says, I'll tell you why. But I'm not going to tell you now. Why? I want you to trust me. I want to see if you'll serve me and not know why. I want to see if you'll serve me because you love me. I want to see if you do trust me that I did what I ought to do and what was right to do. And then he said, look, I've told you why enough times for you to have some praise canned. I've told you why enough times for you to have some joy canned. I've told you why enough times for you to have some courage and faith all canned up. Now open and use it. And then he said, you don't know why, but I do. And you can't see, but I can. If I gave you my favorite song, I would give you the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If I gave you the most important song in the songbook, I would give you this one. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's what Habakkuk did. And that's what God told him to do. And that's what God says for you to do. Trust me. And while you're trusting me and waiting, obey my commands. Keep teaching your Sunday school class. Don't quit it. Don't quit it. Stay in school. Don't go home because you can't understand what's going on. Keep on soul winning. Don't quit your bus route. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Obey! 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 And trust me while you obey. I said that I have this written down in one of my Bibles in my office. I would rather have your trust than your love. I would rather have your trust than your love. And God said, I want you to trust me, and I want you to obey me. Life's tough. I look around this sea of faces this morning. Most of you I know. Hundreds of you, I know your problems, I know your burdens, I know your heartaches. Hundreds and hundreds of you, my shoulders have caught your tears in these 31 years. And how many times have I looked at you and said, I don't know why. I don't know why. I wish I did. But I know Him who knows why. I know Him. I can see the One who can see. I can trust the One who knows. And one day, at that appointed time, He'll tell you why. Until then, trust and obey. Our Heavenly Father,